Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite defensively liable, poor goaltending team in the Bay Area. And the Sharks lose 6-5 to the Vancouver Canucks in overtime. So we're going to break down everything that happened in this very chaotic game. Talk about the offense, talk about the defense. Talk about Eetu Markkanen's NHL debut and more. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making Locked on Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can watch this on YouTube as well. Whew, boy, that was a fun game, actually. If you're going to lose games, at least make them exciting. And the Sharks have at least done that for us, right? Losing 6-5 in an overtime game. Really exciting. A lot of goals, a lot of defensive miscues on both sides, poor goaltending, just Erik Karlsson, beautiful passes, Kevin LeBanc snipes, Timo time, Jonah Gadovich scoring. This game had like everything you could ask for except for goaltending and defense. So it had everything in the offensive zone that you could ask for, right? And I think the big takeaway is this is just who the Sharks are right now. They are a team that can put up a lot of points, especially when things are clicking, and a team that has nothing really on the blue line, defensively, that is. We know what Erik Karlsson can do, but they don't have a defenseman who can kind of shut things down for them, and the goaltending has been poor this year. I mean, there's no other way to be blunt. It's just been bad goaltending from this team. And that's the perfect recipe for a tanking team to make things a lot of fun. Let's start with the goaltending. Kaapo Kähkönen, another poor night from him tonight. Was pulled after 40 minutes for Eetu Markkanen, who made his NHL debut. Congrats to Markkanen. Didn't really have to do much the first kind of 10, 12 minutes into the third period. But Kaapo Kähkönen tonight just continuing to struggle. I know I normally kind of save the numbers for kind of the second segment, but Kaapo Kähkönen, 40 minutes, all situations, faced 19 shots, made 15 saves, gave up 4 goals. Expected goals against was 2.35, so he gave up 4 goals. Goals against average 6. 7 high danger shots, 5 high danger saves, gave up 2 goals there. 7 mid danger shots, 5 mid-danger saves, gave up 2 there. 5 low-danger, 5 low-danger saves. You know, it's just, we continue to see this from Kaapo Kähkönen where you need a save. And I know there was defensive breakdowns. You got to make a save at some point too, right? Eetu Markkanen, I thought he played well. The defense leaving a guy wide open on the power play, a little tough there. And then Elias Pettersson's one of the best pure goal scorers. He's not going to miss from there. So yeah, but yeah, Markkanen in his time. So he played 24 minutes, 8 shots, made 7 saves. I guess it doesn't count the overtime, I guess. Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, He played well, I thought. So especially kind of in his, you know, the defense helped him out a little bit, but when they didn't help him out, they didn't help him out. So, you know, but that's just who this team is right now. They've spent a lot of resources trying to fix the forwards. And I know they signed Matt Benning this offseason, but again, that's a big need for them, is to fix the blue line at some point. And you can't outscore your problems, right? And again, I know the Sharks are a bad team and a bad team by design, and it's really fun, but you're going to have to put some resources into the blue line at some point. Whether it's high draft picks, multiple high draft picks, signing guys who can come in and there's still potential for them, instead of signing guys like Benning, who you know exactly what you're getting type of things. And, you know, like you're hoping Hadika and Merkley and, you know, Knizev, and if Knizev comes back, quick side note, it sounds like Knizev is kind of getting back to practicing here a little bit. So things are trending positively for him. So I expect to see him sometime this season, which is good news. Anyway, really quick, but the Sharks, though, they're going to have to put real resources into the blue line at some point, and hope that some of these prospects pan out, whether if it's, you know, one of the three I just mentioned, again, Larocque, who hasn't even played yet this year, Matthias Havlid, who's played two games in SHL this year because of back injuries. You got to hope that one of these defensemen hits at some point. But the Sharks they're going to need to really rip apart and put back together this blue line, or else all this work that you've been doing with the forward group, you know, the forwards are playing really well right now. All the forwards you have on the Barracudas are playing well. This blue line is a train wreck, and it's just guys not covering guys just making mental lapses. You guys watch the games. It's a mess. And how often are there just guys wide open? And I am very much defenses for nerds, go score goals. But at some point, you gotta play a little defense, like a little bit of defense at some point. So my career is going to have to really, really work at fixing this blue line at some point. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if you had Dominik Hasek back there tonight. Like, there was just guys wide open constantly and just defensive miscues. And yeah, so Kapokkanen. So yeah, when you have a combination of poor goaltending to poor defense, you're getting into a lot of 6-5 games, which is fun for the tank, right? At least it's better than last year, where it's the defense is bad and the offense is bad and the goaltending is poor, especially at the end of the season. Now at least the offense is fun to watch, or, you know, can at least produce points, and then the defense is bad and the goaltending is bad. So at least one thing checked off, right? Offense is okay. All right. Before we get into kind of some of the numbers from this game, look at how the forward lines did, you know, Timo Meier, see how the Timo Meier, Tomas Hertl, that was my big thing from last game. How would they kind of respond? Let's take a quick break. I'll let you guys know today's episode is brought to you guys by Bet Online. If you guys don't know by now, you need to know Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. You have football. Bowl season is here. There's 42 bowl games. Plenty of betting options there. You have NFL, the playoff push is here. Teams are, you know, kind of the cream is rising to the crop of the teams trying to make their playoffs. You have basketball, pro, college. You have soccer, World Cup, esports. They got you all covered at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, which you do because you're listening to one right now, you can find those at BetOnline as well. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed in. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline. Where the game starts. So yes, 6-5 games. So the Sharks, like, were the much better team, especially like at 5-on-5. Shot attempts for the Sharks, 57 to 38 in a little under 50 minutes of played. Actual shots, 31 to 18 shot attempts. Scoring chances, 38 to 20 in favor of the Sharks. High danger chances, 18 to 5. The Sharks generate a lot of high danger chances. This has been their recipe, right? Normally, they usually lose the shot battle, but they're getting the quality over quantity, and they did that tonight, right? They won the shot battle. They got more scoring chances, more high danger chances. Expected goals for was 2.83 to 1.79 at 5-on-5. And it's 3-3. Yeah. Even like the special teams, right? Vancouver had two power play goals. Sharks had one, but Sharks also got a shorthanded goal, right? First shorthanded goal of the season. So you can see the power play was even. But the Sharks should have won this game, right? They won easily, were the better team at 5-on-5. And the special teams was a draw. But in a game with poor goaltending and poor defense, the Canucks were able to kind of get that save when they needed it. And that save, the save that they really needed, came with Timo Meier on the breakaway in overtime. And Spencer Martin made a big save when he had to. And you saw Timo almost, he tried to kind of replicate the Logan Couture. Let me go 5-hole and see if I can tuck it home. Spencer Martin kind of makes a big save. Hurdle comes flying in, and Spencer Martin goes out and meets him. I just love Hurdle kind of crashing and going over him, and then it's just off to the races for the Canucks. And again, Elias Pettersson, all like, he's very, very good. So feel bad for E.T. McKinney, but by all accounts, the Sharks were the much, much better team tonight. But the Canucks have just been kind of been able to outscore their problems, and they did it again tonight, even though the Sharks, again, the high danger chances of 18 to 5 is absolutely bonkers at 5-on-5. Especially in the third period when the Canucks were down and had to kind of come back into this game, and the Sharks kept producing high danger chances. The Sharks had 6 high danger chances in the third period compared to the Canucks 1, and the Canucks still won the game. That's at least 5-on-5. Looking at all situations, it was 6-2, and the Canucks were able to score, score to win the game, to tie it up and tie it up twice, right? The shot chart for the Sharks is just, it's beautiful red right in front of the net. And again, this is what they're doing right now. They're just unable to get that save when they need it, or defensively cover guys, or when they need to. And we just see these collapses from them. Let's look at how the forward lines did, because the defense is a hot poo-poo mess. So Sharks forward lines. All right, time on ice. So the line that got the most time on ice, Barabanov, Couture, Bonino, right? I said if Barabanov plays, I really like this line to kind of get stuff going. 11 shot attempts, 4, gave up 6. Actual shots was 8-1. They did a great job shutting down their opponents. 1 goal, 4. 8 scoring chances, gave up 1. 4 high danger chances. And then 5 new offensive, 9 neutral, 4 defensive zone starts. Svechnikov, Nico Sturm, Luke Cunningham. So Nico Sturm's first game back. Svechnikov on waivers came back. Waivers was just kind of a transaction to try to free up some cap space, right? Anyway, 9-19 time on ice together. They had a pretty solid night too. 10 shots for 6 allowed. Actual shots on goal was 7-1. And 7 scoring chances, did give up 4. 3 high danger, gave up 1. 4-4-1 for the zone starts. LeBanc, Hurdle, Timo Meier. Little under 9 minutes played. 17 shot attempts for. Yes, that's what we love to see, right? 10 allowed. Actual shots was 6-7. Did give up a goal, but expected goals for was 0.76. They had the highest expected goals for among all the Sharks forward lines. 10 scoring chances, gave up 6. 7 high danger chances, gave up 2. You know, 2, 4, and 1. And then Lindblom, Suits, and Gadovich played 4:45. One shot attempt, had 4. And then shots for was 1-2, and they did give up a goal. Gadovich, he scored a goal on somebody else's line there. Shout out to Gadovich. That was a really, really great goal from Gadovich of him working, taking the puck, and then going top shelf there. Great job by Gadovich. So, you know, especially the revenge factor of him against his old team, the Vancouver Canucks. But by all accounts, everybody except for the fourth line played really well. And it's, again, it continues to be goaltending and defense that is letting you down. So my career is going to have a busy, busy offseason to try to fix that. So, yeah, before we get into our kind of final segment, final takeaways, we'll look at the defensive numbers from our friends over at Money Puck here. Let's take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at the Lockdown Sports Today podcast. So if you listen to Lockdown Sharks, thank you guys for doing that. Now, when you guys are done listening to this episode, go check out the Lockdown Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. All right, so the pulling up Money Puck right now, and they do their little like probability of winning thing. The Sharks deserve to win this game by a lot. It's finishing up. I just pulled it up right now. So, like 56% times the Sharks would have won this game. So, but expected goal. All right, let's look at the Corsi for. So, Scott Harrington, God bless you. Led when Scott Harrington was on the ice, the Sharks had Corsi 4 of 20, give up 6. So that's good, I guess. But Benning, when he was on the ice, so 5. This is 5-on-5. Benning, when he was on the ice, Corsi 4, 8 shot Corsi against 18. Again, remember the Canucks in this game, 5-on-5. They only took 38 shot attempts, right? At 5-on-5, Benning was on the ice when they gave up 18 of those 38 shot attempts. Almost half of these shot attempts was from Matt when Matt Benning was on the ice. Vlasic, same thing. 9 shot attempts, 4, gave up 18. Let's see the other defenseman, right? Megna, Corsi 4-29, Corsi against 18. Carlson, Corsi 4-29, Corsi against 18. Positive, right? As long as you're out shooting them, that's kind of the thing. Shimmick, Corsi 4-19, Corsi against 8. So I think we kind of know where the issue was there. I know the Sharks, they're kind of in a tough situation right now, especially on the defense. You know, you have Nick Cicek kind of is your only other guy right now. Ferraro's going to be back here soon, it sounds like. I would expect maybe Friday, but probably next week again. Try to give these guys a little bit more time. But again, it's, you know, guy just kind of letting defensive guy just kind of making these mental errors, and then the goalies not helping you out as well. So it's just kind of, it continues to be the story for the Sharks going forward. So let's end this here. So we Cuda right now have a couple days off, right? They don't play again until Friday. I know the offense is playing well, right? But you just wonder how much longer until we see Eklund and Bortolo. Those are the two, right? Robbins, we'll see Robbins probably at the end of the season too. I think they're going to give him the whole year down there to marinate. But at some point, right, Eklund, Bortolo, and I know there's plenty of let them marinate down in the AHL. And there's something I go back and forth with all the time. You know, I had Hattie on the other day. We were discussing about, you know, kind of marinating prospects and how long they're going. But at some point, too, you do have to see it and in the NHL. And Nico Sturm, if Nico Sturm's your 4C and Bortolo's your 3C, you're and then with Couture and Hurdle as you're down the middle, you got to be feeling really good right there, right? And like there's opportunities for these guys. I think they're coming in. We've seen them playing well in the AHL and with the Barracuda. And at some point, you got to kind of, okay, let's see what they can do now. Can they take the next step right now? And I've kind of had the Christmas time is the, okay, like we know this team is just bad. It's time to look towards the future. And what's tough is Merkley is the kind of like this team needs defensive help, right? And Merkley is the one guy, but on that you're kind of excited about. I know Knyazev's had a pretty solid season so far with the Barracuda, and Hodaka has been hurt. But Merkley is the guy that you're like, okay, if you can kind of come in and help, one, take some pressure off of Erik Karlsson so he doesn't have to do everything for this team defensively. But two, like, just to help solidify that right side and not having to have Schimmick or Ferraro or whoever is playing on the third pair having to play on your offhand, and Matt Benning can slide down to the third. If Matt Benning's your third pair defenseman, great. Matt Benning defensively has been very, very strong this year. Doesn't provide you anything off. I know he had an assist tonight, but just doesn't, you know, we talked about his shot attempt, the shots, right? Doesn't really provide you much offensively. You know, Merkley's doing great so far this season, and we're just hoping at some point it's like, okay, we got to let these kids fly, especially as the season continues to get out of hand for the Sharks. And I know their schedule's a little bit softer, right? You play the Ducks, you play the Coyotes, you got the Flames who are kind of struggling through things right now coming up. But like, we know who this team is. This team stinks. They're fun to watch. They're way more fun to watch than they were last year, but they're just going to be hampered by poor goaltending and defensive miscues. And even when James Reimer comes back, James Reimer's starting to show a little bit of cracks there. I know he was dealing with injuries, but James Reimer's not going to save you and turn this team into a playoff team. Like I said earlier, you could have had Dominik Hasek back there tonight, and the Sharks were still giving up 4 or 5 goals. So, yeah, combination. So, yep. But again, at some point, Quinn and Greer they're going to have to realize what this team is, and you're going to have to play for the future. And getting those rookie lumps out of the way with Eklund and Bortolo, the faster you can do that, the faster you can start getting this core 2.0 on track for the Sharks and seeing what you have. So we'll continue to wait for the core, wait for those guys. Keep an eye on what they're doing in the AHL. But right now it's enjoy the offensive fireworks and pray that you get a save every once in a while. So, yeah, that's going to be it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Friday? Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to get you guys ready for the Ducks game. Then we'll have some time next week so we can kind of delve into some other topics and stuff like that. Again, Kudo play on Friday night. So I think I'll be doing a watch party on Friday night. Anyway, keep an eye on the Twitter page. So yeah, you can follow me at MyFryHole. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at LockedOnSharks. You can listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, all those places. Watch on YouTube. See my Couture jersey. The sweet, thanks Hal for sending me the very sweet reverse retro scarf. And yeah, until then, bye, friends.